We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Go episode 777 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. And yes, this is episode 777. You know, it was this past September 28th that we reached episode 666. 666, the number of the devil. The number of Satan, the number of Lucifer. Those of you who are biblical scholars, it is in the book of Revelation, the final book of the New Testament, that the number 666 is referred to as the number of the beast. You know, I on radio used to do what I called Redskins revivals. This when our team was especially down, which was more often than we wanted. I at one point got my colleague, former Skins tight end Chris Cooley, to feel the spirit. Ain't that right, Chris?
Feel the spirit.
That's right, Cooley. Feel the spirit. Well, 777 is the opposite of 666. 777 is known as the angel number, a number of fullness, of completeness, of spiritual awakening, of divine intervention, of luck. 666 is bad. 777 is good. According to the Bible, Lamech, the father of Noah, as in Noah's Ark, that guy, Lamech lived to be 777 years old. Yes, Lamech made it to his age 777 season, and this podcast has made it to episode 777, the angel episode of this podcast. Boy, a lot of pressure to deliver a good show. Hello and welcome to this Wednesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. So did you see what Commander Safety Cameron Curl posted on X on Tuesday afternoon? The emoji of a hand putting up two fingers, as in the peace sign, as in peace, I'm out of here. He is set to be an unrestricted free agent when NFL free agency begins next week. He posted the peace sign emoji at 4:05 p.m. Eastern, minutes after the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, by which NFL teams had to apply franchise and transition tags to players this offseason. Among those who got franchise tagged was Tampa Bay Buccaneers safety Antoine Winfield Jr. Also, the New England Patriots transition tagged safety Kyle Duggar. So the free agent safety market has thinned. Perhaps that prompted Cam Curl to post what he posted. Perhaps he knows that the Commanders will not be meeting his asking price, and that's why he posted what he posted. Whatever the case, I don't know how you read what he posted any way other than, I'm out of here. I mean, the peace sign emoji, you know, I don't know what else we're supposed to take from that. Here's the bottom line with Cam Curl. Good player, diverse player. He can be utilized in a variety of ways. Nice story as a seventh round pick in the 2020 NFL draft, but he's not a playmaking player. Cam, over his four NFL regular seasons, has a mere 3 interceptions and a mere 1 forced fumble. He's not coming off his best season. Cam, for the 2023 regular season, had an overall grade for Pro Football Focus of just 66.6. PFF grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. And Cam, twice over the last 3 seasons, has been part of a Washington secondary that has been terrible. So, you know, the world will not stop spinning on its axis if the Commanders lose Cam Curl as a free agent. This is where you have to trust our team's new football operations regime. Well, someone who we most definitely trust is a Commanders insider, Ben Standig of The Athletic. And Ben is going to be with us next segment for an in-depth conversation on what the Commanders are thinking with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft and on what we should expect from the team in free agency. Ben last week was at the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. He's going to tell us what he heard about where the Commanders are at in their quarterback decision. Also is going to tell us what he heard about the team potentially trading interior defensive lineman Jonathan Allen. And we are going to talk a whole lot about the Commanders' approach to free agency this offseason. So much salary cap space for the team for the upcoming league year. So many needs for our team. A new football ops regime. A truckload of Commanders players who are set to be unrestricted free agents. Are we next week going to see our team do a lot? Or not so much? Ben also will address whether we should, in fact, expect the overwhelming majority of the team's pending unrestricted free agents, like Cam Curl, to be gone. And Ben has some intel on Commanders linebacker Jamin Davis. Ben Standig, next segment. Also on the show, the Capitals. They, on Tuesday evening, made a trade. They dealt winger Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights. The 2024 NHL trade deadline is this Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Have the Caps started a fire sale, or is this just a continuation of the retool? And I'll talk college basketball from Tuesday night. Georgetown lost its regular season home finale, a 71-58 loss to Providence at Capital One Arena. But Virginia Tech won at Louisville, 80-64. Is there NCAA tournament life for the Hokies? You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. A lot of feedback to our conversation on Tuesday's show, episode 776, with Minnesota Vikings insider Matthew Koehler, who is the host of a very popular Vikings podcast, Purple Insider with Matthew Koehler. He also is the founder of PurpleInsider.com. Matthew went in-depth on you-know-who, Vikings and former Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins, who is set to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason and who keeps coming up as a potential target of the Commanders. From Still Skins on X, Koehler had the most honest and balanced view on Kirk that I have heard in the DC market since Cousins was drafted in 2012. That was a really good listen. Well, thank you for that, Still Skins. From Ken on X, what a wonderful, wonderful discussion about Kirk. Money guaranteed, results may vary. Cousins, just flat out awesome. Finally, someone with the right view on this stats padding, interception throwing, fumbling buffoon of a quarterback. I listened to the interview 5 times. It was awesome. Just great. Well, thank you for that, Ken. I don't agree with Kirk being a stats padding, interception throwing, fumbling buffoon, but I do agree that Matthew Koehler was really good. Email from Doug Wilson on what the Commanders should do with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft. Writes Doug, we all know that the draft is a bit of a crapshoot. 2 or 3 or 4 of the top 5 quarterbacks will not be franchise quarterbacks just because they are so rare, and that has been our experience. So instead of pretending that the process is not a crapshoot, why not, if possible, trade down, take J.J. McCarthy, and take advantage of the draft capital that results? God knows we are more than a quarterback away. McCarthy has just as good of a chance of being a good quarterback as the rest of the prospects, even though the experts may not think so. I say trade down as long as you know that you will get McCarthy and see how things shake out. You will probably say that if we really love a guy, then take the guy, but that's the point. Having someone say we love the guy is meaningless. Nobody knows. Thank you for the email, Doug. Well, depends on who they is. There is a new they for our team, and that they is led by general manager Adam Peters. The whole point of this new they is that they are a better they than the they of the last 4 years. So if this new they does really love one of these quarterbacks in the 2024 draft, then that, to me, is the quarterback who the team should get. Doug's right. The NFL draft is a crapshoot. But what's exciting about Adam Peters and also the Commanders' new assistant general manager, Lance Newmark, is that each guy has an extensive track record of being part of an operation that has done well at the crapshoot in recent years. Peters over his 7 years as an executive with the San Francisco 49ers, and Newmark in recent years as an executive with the Detroit Lions, who along with the Niners have been among the best teams at the NFL draft in recent years. It is true that, generally speaking, trading down in the NFL draft is the way to go, but it's also true that nothing in the NFL matters more than quarterback. The guiding light for the Commanders with this draft should be, what is the best way to get a quarterback who Adam Peters and company really like? The priority needs to be quarterback. Everything else should take a backseat to quarterback. The other things that the Commanders need can be addressed later in the draft. And by the way, a team should not draft for need anyway. Drafting for need is how you get in trouble because needs change constantly. But the Commanders have enough draft capital to where they, in the first round, can get a quarterback who they really like, and then later in the draft can get other good players. Again, the idea with Adam Peters and Lance Newmark is that they who are a lot better than the previous theys for our team.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, if you are listening to this podcast via Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can rate the podcast with a star rating. 5-star ratings are greatly appreciated. They help us out a lot. Thank you for doing them. So with NFL free agency and the start of the NFL's trading period coming next week, and with the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine now complete, we welcome back to the Al Galdi podcast a man who was at the Combine last week at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Commanders insider Ben Standig of The Athletic. Ben does an awesome job of covering the Commanders. He's the host of the Standig Room Only podcast. You can follow him on X at Ben Standig. And Ben, as many of you know, is one of the best mock NFL draft people on the planet. Ben is a three-time mock NFL draft champion, as determined by the Huddle Report. Ben, you have as many mock draft championships as Joe Gibbs has Super Bowl championships as Redskins head coach. Are you prepared for the possibility of passing the great Joe Gibbs this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I'm thinking about it. I've won those with three different cats, I think, in my house. So maybe I need to get another one, so I'd have a fourth one. So, he won with three quarterbacks, but he didn't win with a fourth. So maybe that's the move I got to make.
Well, have you named the cats Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, and Mark Rippon, or have you not gone that far?
Didn't go that far. This one, Lenny, is a combination of Lenny Kravitz and Len Bias. That's about as close as I've gotten to sports for this one. We'll keep a consideration, and hey, who knows? Maybe there's a Jaden or Drake in the future. Who can say?
I like that. A perfect segue. Your final mock draft for the 2024 NFL draft is a ways away, but give us, if you would, what you're thinking with the Commanders with their number two overall pick right now. Them trading up to the number one overall pick seems unlikely. There's the chalk scenario of them staying at two and deciding between North Carolina quarterback Drake May and LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. There is this rise of Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. You for The Athletic, in a piece that came out on Sunday, wrote about the possibility of the Commanders trading down. Right now, at this moment in time, if you had to submit a mock draft, what would you have the Commanders doing with their number two overall pick?
One point of going to the combine is to get information and hopefully have you be a little more clear about what it is that you're, looking into with your team. I feel more confused about Washington's quarterback situation at two than I did before. I'm with you. The Caleb Williams thing, I've just kind of, I was never really in on it, and then I got sucked into it a little bit, and now I'm just sort of back off. I just don't see that happening from kind of any direction. A lot of people put out mock drafts. Our guy Dane Brugler did, among others. And from the ones I've seen so far, they all still have Drake May 2, and then either Jaden Daniels 3 or the Patriots trade out or something. So I guess that's where I would go, except that while I was there in Indy and having talked to some other people, it's not like people are like saying like they're against Drake May per se, but like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of like, oh, wow, that guy's amazing. It's just like, yeah. Sure, Drake May, he's got prototypical height, 6'4". He's like, there's no weight issues here. He's like 230 something. He can run, big arm. He seems like a pretty good kid. All these types of deals, But I don't know. It felt like when I would talk to people about Jaden Daniels, not everyone. Some people are question that as well, the lack of size for him, and he takes a lot of big hits. But it felt like there were some people like, yeah, Jaden Daniels. I like that guy. A couple people are like, oh, I like that guy more than Caleb Williams. And to be clear, when I say people, I'm not saying they're all general managers. Just, people who are at the combine who, presumably you're paying attention to the sport in a somewhat serious way. So I don't quite know what to make of that. I think Drake May feels like the default pick. I don't mean that like default, like, oh, no, this is like, you're just giving us somebody to give us someone. But, again, this is probably where it gets like to be too much in the weeds of just like you don't know which end is up anymore, talking to enough people and trying to figure it out for yourself. So if I had to do a mock, I would go Drake May 2, probably Jaden Daniels 3 for argument's sake. But I don't love it. And I will say, I think it's also partly because in my own head, the trade down part is really interesting. Now, I don't know what they would get. I keep using the RG3 trade as my measuring stick or sort of my comparison, especially if Atlanta from 8-2, whereas Washington went from 6-2. You know, if you give me that trade, oh boy, like that is awfully tempting. Even if you can't get McCarthy at 8, if that's what they want or whatever, that to me is the most interesting. But that doesn't mean that's what I would do or what they would do.
A colleague of yours, NFL insider Jeff Howe of The Athletic, he in a piece that came out this past Saturday wrote that there are indications that the Commanders really like Drake May. Quote, there's belief by rival team executives the Washington Commanders are high on May and that he should remain the favorite as the second pick, end quote. However, you, in a piece for The Athletic that came out on Monday, wrote, quote, though armed with more personal and measurable data on the perceived top passers, Washington's decision makers returned home without a definitive outcome, according to internal sources. No fully formed decision appears imminent for a specific quarterback or Washington's first round pick following interviews with Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and McCarthy, and conversations with other teams. End quote. Now, what Jeff wrote and what you wrote are not necessarily in conflict, but do you think that the Commanders at least have a lean on the quarterback direction that they want to take? Or do you think that the reality is that the team is more undecided, is more up in the air?
You know, I'm going to say they're up in the air. And, you know, I don't want to say that like, I feel like I'm always having to defend everything I say of the team because I can hear the person on Twitter going, what do you mean they don't have a feeling? They should know what they want to do. You know, I just think, like, look at their track records here for starters. You know, going back, you know, for everything that they've been doing under Josh Harris, you know, they've been deliberative. I really do believe that they're trying to think outside the box. I don't think this is their coming at this thing with emotional with emotion leading the way I think we saw a lot of times with, you know, the previous regime. So, I mean, and also, like, you know, the reality is, look, the as one popular phrase that was said a lot was the tape is the tape. Like, you know, they're not playing any more games in between, you know, now and the draft. So, what are you judging on? I think one thing you're judging on is the person. And for, like, Dan Quinn, he's never met these people. You know, I don't even know, you know, for Adam Peters, I don't know how much he's been around any of these people prior to this. I mean, other than, like, if he was on the road or something, going to a, you know, a practice or you know, at LSU or whatever. Josh Harris certainly doesn't know any of these people. And while, no, I'm not suggesting he's going to have a say in who they pick, he is going to have a, you know, he's going to be in the room. And if he, you know, if he didn't like, if somebody's like, dude, are you serious? This guy seems like an immature baby. I don't want this guy. I, you know, whatever it is. So they're all meeting them for the first time. And I think, you know, they're trying to assess this. And also, like, to the degree that it feels like it's a pretty even split on Drake May and Jaden Daniels, why wouldn't they be potentially split? You know, what are they, the only handful of people in America who have the exact same opinion on these quarterbacks? Like, you know, again, based on who I've talked to, takes are kind of all over the place. So, yeah, I don't buy. And that was kind of honestly, like, the point for me of putting that note in the story that they haven't made a decision. It's not because that's news, like, oh my, you know, what? It's to say whatever is going to be said, I don't buy it. Like, I don't really buy that they are definitively set. Again, maybe Adam Peters knows what he wants, but in terms of just overall, I don't think they're there yet.
Do you buy this apparent surge in the stock of J.J. McCarthy?
Well, you know, I remember last year, right, Will Levis was getting a lot of top five love. He falls to the second round. I remember years ago when Geno Smith was a rookie, there was, like, top five noise. He fell to the second round. You know, this happens. I mean, Malik Willis a couple of years ago, right? He fell to the third round. So there's always somebody like that. Now, I don't know that that's J.J. McCarthy, but I guess I'm just saying I'm a little cautious. Now, I was one that added to that fire I wrote the other day that a high-ranking personnel exec for another team said to me that he can see, you know, he would see McCarthy going in the top, being in the mix for 2 and 3. At the moment, everything feels a bit speculative. But like I said, I don't feel like it's, I, I guess I'll say this. On the one hand, I think it seems a bit much that, you know, I mean, I watched some Michigan games and I wasn't ever going, ooh, this guy. But I'm not a scout. I'm not seeing some of the nuanced stuff. I'm not seeing him at practice. I'm not talking to him or coaches or his teammates and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you do hear more and more people say, hey, I really, you know, liked what he did. I know our Dane Brugler noted that McCarthy's like three cone drill time was like the best in 5 years for any quarterback, something like that. So, I guess there's like a lot of athletic traits to like him. He can make the throws, all that stuff. I don't know if I see. I'm not there yet. I think I need to see more. I need to hear more, see more in terms of like the idea that he's really jumping up into that range. So I'm not there yet, but I do think he's interesting for sure. He's also probably the furthest away. He's only like 21. And I have zero problem with sitting a quarterback the first year. So I would imagine if that's a way that a team wants to go, that's a whole other deal, right? You have to then, you know, are you willing to do it? Do you have the cojones to tell your fan base, hey, we're not playing the guy that you're buying the jerseys of, and that you also then have to go get some other, have some other quarterback, you know, to play. So, I'm not there yet, but I guess if you made me pick, I would say I buy the hype that he's closer to the top than he's not, but like I said, be leery of the quarterback surge, because we've seen over and over again that, you know, there's always one guy that falls off.
Combine week, as you know, is a week of NFL rumors and NFL gossip. I don't know that we had a lot of that stuff with the Commanders last week, but you and your piece for The Athletic that came out on Monday did write about Commanders interior defensive lineman Jonathan Allen. He's coming off a disappointing 2023 season, during which he on multiple occasions voiced his frustrations. He has zero guaranteed money left in his contract. What did you during Combine Week hear about the possibility of the Commanders trading John Allen?
Yeah, I had some people say, you know, kind of ask me about it now and say that they heard something. Now, I don't know if that was, and this was something I wrote up on The Athletic, that, you know, obviously there was noise at the trade deadline about him possibly getting moved at the same time when Chase Young and Montez Sweat were moved. And I do believe that there was something to that. He obviously expressed frustration as the year went on over another losing season, over the possibility of another rebuild. And also I think, you know, the reality is his contract's in a weird space because he has 2 years left. He doesn't have any guaranteed money left on the deal. The defensive tackle market is now past him. His number, including his own teammate, gets more, you know, Jerron Payne is averaging like what, $22.5 million or something, and Allen is like 18. You know, that's got to be in the back of your mind. So I think his contract is something that's going to be discussed and brought up. And I would imagine, you know, whether Washington chooses to do something with it is another story. But, you know, I imagine he's going to be like, hey, I want to restructure or a new deal or something because of all the things I just mentioned. But at the same point, if you're Washington, he's 29. If you don't think you're winning in the next 2 years, right, for real, does that make sense to extend him, or does it make sense to trade him? I don't know what a market for John Allen would be, but obviously he's pretty good. So does it make more sense to trade him and then bring in a player that is more in the timeline that you're on? That to me is the biggest mystery that we have so far, that we have left, is what is their timeline? So not really, I guess, is the answer. I just think that it makes sense for this to be a topic. And I do think, for me, it is the, what they do with him will tell us the most about their actual plans for how quickly or they want to turn this around, or how willing they are to be patient.
Much more with Ben Standing in moments. We next will preview free agency for the Commanders. We always hope that you are free of problems, but if you have been harmed by the negligence of someone else, or if someone who you care about has been harmed by the negligence of someone else, always know that the great law firm of Paulson and Nace is there for you. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. Call 202-902-7611. And when you call, make sure that you tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson & Ace has won millions of dollars for clients and was just named as part of U.S. News and World Report's Best Law Firms 2024 edition. Paulson & Ace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm that handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C. and West Virginia. Paulson & Ace fights for victims of all kinds of situations, including victims of errors made during diagnosis, during surgery, or with medication, victims of injuries caused by dangerous medications or medical devices, as well as defective auto parts, victims of accidents involving cars, trucks, bikes, or motorcycles, victims of deceptive trade practices and false advertising, heck, victims of shady lawyers. If your attorney acts in bad faith, is unethical in his or her counsel, or is negligent in his or her work, you could have a claim for legal malpractice. Paulson & Ace has represented corporate clients throughout the region. Attorneys Chris Nace and Matt Nace are experienced trial attorneys who are not afraid to take cases to trials, and that's because Paulson & Ace wins trials. If you feel that you've been wronged, if you think that you've been wronged but aren't sure, call Paulson & Ace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. Call 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson & Ace that Al Galdi sent you. You can also visit PaulsonAndAce.com. Just don't forget to tell Paulson & Ace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson & Ace, if you have a case, contact Paulson & Ace. We're talking with Commanders insider Ben Standing of The Athletic. So we, this Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern, have the start of the NFL's legal tampering period, which is when NFL teams can contact and conduct contract negotiations with certified agents of external players who will become unrestricted free agents upon the start of the new league year. And that new league year begins on Wednesday, March 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern. The new league year is when signings of external free agents can become official and when trades can become official. The Commanders for the upcoming league year are set to have a ton of salary cap space. The team, of course, has new ownership in the Josh Harris Group, a new front office led by general manager Adam Peters, and a new coaching staff led by head coach Dan Quinn. The team is coming off a horrendous 2023 season. The team has a lot of players who are set to be unrestricted free agents this offseason. Any one of these things could lead you to believe that major activity via free agency and trades is coming. That the Commanders have all six of these things really does set up for an unprecedented situation for the team this offseason. What are you expecting from the Commanders next week?
Yeah, well, again, it's a great question. It's a great thought exercise, and kind of like what I just said, it's like, you know, what their timeline is really hard to say. You know, the Kirk Cousins aspect of this. Now, do I really think Kirk Cousins is coming to Washington? No. Do I think it's interesting? I do. I think it's interesting because I'm not worried about the money. They obviously have the cap space. I'm not worried about Cousins wanting to come back here. I've heard over the years he would play here. It just, you know, he didn't like some of the other occupants in the building, you know. But obviously Washington is not really positioned to win, right? If he goes to Atlanta, sort of the other main rumored team, you know, Atlanta was, you know, yes, Washington beat Atlanta last year. Let's not act like they were all that, but like, they've got a really good defense. They've got a good offensive line. They drafted a bunch of playmakers in recent years, and they're in a, you know, pretty weak division. So, you know, you get Kirk Cousins, you already have one of the top, you know, handful of quarterbacks in the conference, and you could be a legit contender. But the thing with Washington would be like it would help them. I hate to use the word culture all the time, but it would help them sort of reshape the mindset of the team. You would go into every game, if you're a player, thinking we can win. And when's the last time, just based on the quarterback, I mean, and when's the last time that's happened around here? You know, in a real way. I mean, probably Kirk or a healthy Alex Smith, maybe, you know? I mean, it's been a while. So I do think there's something that could make sense there. But that said, assuming that's not a Kirk Cousins thing, I think that, you know, the two positions, if you're going to spend money, I think the sweet spot is spending money on somebody who's like in their 20s at a coveted position, which would mean to me to be offensive line or edge rusher. Edge rusher, I think, is interesting because this draft is not particularly deep at that spot. Will there be somebody there they can get at the top of the second round? Sure, but not a lot. And you also obviously have to get offensive line, right? That's got to be a huge priority. And the offensive line class feels deeper. So I do feel like you could spend money. If they're going to spend, like, if you spend money on a defensive end, like, I keep looking at a guy like Bryce Huff from the Jets. Now, again, they need to know more. What, you know, he was only basically a part-time player for New York. Is that a sign because, they, you know, New York didn't feel like he could handle the run, or is it just they have a lot of good players? Probably the latter. But, like, his, like, you know, win percentage is, you know, right there with Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons. And I don't know that he's going to cost as much as, you know, I mean, Brian Burns, he's not going to cost as much as, like, what Burns would get in the open market, and he's young. So, like, a guy like that, to me, would kind of make some sense. You know, it helps you now, but it's also, he's there for the next year or two when you start to get more pieces in place. I feel like something like that would make sense. Dan Quinn's going to probably want some of his own guys. Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler are two defensive ends on Dallas that make sense. Armstrong is the, would be like the starter. Fowler would be sort of that Ryan Kerrigan-y guy, you know, situation from a couple years ago, that the veteran off the bench. But like beyond that, I'm just really fascinated by what Peters wants to do. You have to get pieces. You have money. I just think you got to be, you know, I wouldn't be desperate because of where they're at, but I just think I would make some targeted choices to get guys who fit the timeline that they're on more than just simply, you know, I don't want to keep comparing everything in the world back to the Snyder world, but like when he, you know, got here and then they started starting Bruce Smith and all these older guys, like that won the headlines, didn't win the day. And I don't see Peters doing any of that, but I'm just saying, to me, that's where I'd be looking at the 20 somethings who can help you not just this year, but, you know, grow with your team.
Yeah, what's also true regarding the Commanders' timeline is if the team hits on its quarterback decision this offseason, then the timeline is expedited. Like, if the team via the first round of the 2024 draft takes a quarterback who is good from the get-go, then everything changes. And to whatever extent that Dan Quinn has say-so in player personnel, he, in just his second season as Atlanta Falcons head coach, won the NFC Championship. So he knows as well as anyone that a quick turnaround can happen.
Yeah, and I think this is also where the fascinating topic is, does this coaching staff get more out of the players who are still here than the previous coaching staff? I think the secondary, for me, is going to be really fascinating to watch because that's the group that seemed to fall off the most last year, but they still have, you know, a lot of guys who were drafted high, you know, and if they can get more out of them, then all of a sudden, yeah, things could change. I mean, again, don't buy your playoff tickets just yet, but like, you know, if... Right, okay, so let's just say, for argument's sake, they pick Drake May, and, you know, it's not typically likely a rookie comes in and plays so well that you're making the playoffs, but, you know, we'll see. Even Houston with C.J. Stroud, Houston had been building up for several years prior to that. It wasn't just Stroud, and all of a sudden they got good. They had been terrible for a while. They also had Will Anderson, who was one of the better rookies last year as an edge rusher. But anyway, if the quarterback hits, right, you spend your 2 second-round picks, one on a tackle, one on an edge rusher, right? On the edge rusher, if that guy's able to come in and be effective quickly, and let's just say for argument's sake, you re-sign James Smith Williams, you know, is that line much different than the 2022 one with Allen, Payne, and Sweat? I mean, probably yes, because the rookie wouldn't be as good as Sweat, but the point would be if you have somebody on the edge that can get after the quarterback, then all of a sudden, that helps Allen and Payne, and now you're looking a little bit better. That helps the rest of the defense. And like I said, the secondary, I think, is interesting because they've got a lot of secondary coaches here now. Essentially, Joe Witt was a secondary coach. Jason Simmons, their pass game coordinator, was a secondary coach. They have an actual secondary coach. You know, if they get those guys turned around, they get Forbes to look like a guy who could be a potential, you know, who was a first-round pick, et cetera. And then on offense, look, obviously the line has got to be redone. But, you know, if that's where they spend some money, my point is to say that, like, if I want to be very optimistic, I can paint a picture that says between the new coaching staff, Adam Peters, you know, doing a good job of finding new pieces to add to the puzzle, then sure, this thing could maybe get turned around quicker than expectations. But so yeah, I mean it's not crazy. I'm not counting on it, but it's not crazy.
As I said earlier, the Commanders have a lot of players who are set to be unrestricted free agents this offseason. On defense, corner Kendall Fuller, safeties Cameron Curl and Jeremy Reeves, linebackers Cody Barton and Kalik Hudson, edge defenders James Smith-Williams, Casey Tuhill, and F.A. Obada. On offense, receivers Curtis Samuel, Jamison Crowder, and Byron Pringle, quarterback Jacoby Brissett, running back Antonio Gibson, offensive tackle Cornelius Lucas, guard Sadiq Charles, center Tyler Larson. On special teams, kicker Joey Sly. The team officially hired Adam Peters as general manager on January 15th, a month and a half ago. The team officially hired Dan Quinn as head coach on February 3rd, more than a month ago, and yet the team has not signed a single one of these pending unrestricted free agents to a contract extension. And of course, the team did not tag any of these guys. Should we take all of this as a sign that the overwhelming majority of these players will not be back with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably safe. I mean, there's different categories, right? There's the Kendall Fullers, the Cam Curls, guys who are probably going to get, you know, multi-year deals, and then they're your help me here, I'm blanking out, you know, your Byron Pringles or of the world, who are like, okay, if you want it back, it'll be a 1 year, you know, relatively low cost. So those are kind of separate things. Like, to me, now this is mostly just my thought, but like, I, the guys that I would look to bring back are like your Cornelius Lucas's, especially now that Leno is officially gone. Yeah, I have no idea what they're doing at left tackle, and their tackle situation, the tackle market in free agency is pretty bleak. A James Smith-Williams, you know, or a Casey Tuhill, if you prefer, you know, a guy we know can play. He's not all that, but he's solid, does their job. As we know right now, their defensive end room is KJ Henry and Andre Jones. So they've got to get this depth in general, let alone somebody who could possibly start if you needed them to. You know, guys like that are the word where I'd be looking for, and I would think that some of those guys get brought in. But beyond that, you know, when we're talking sort of the end of the roster, I just think that, you know, Dan Quinn and Peters are going to probably have their own thoughts, so some of those guys will lose the tiebreaker based on familiarity. And then, you know, I just don't think, like, bringing back Kendall Fuller makes much sense. You know, older guy, he's going to get paid. Again, the timeline thing. So, yeah, I think a lot of these guys are probably going to be gone.
A guy who is under contract for the Commanders for the 2024 season, but for whom the team this offseason must decide on a fifth-year option, is linebacker Jamin Davis. You and your piece for The Athletic that came out on Monday wrote, quote, "The Commanders see using the 2021 first-round linebacker more in pass rush situations this season. The plan is to have the athletically gifted Davis become a hybrid defender, which should translate into less pass coverage and more attempts at getting after quarterbacks," end quote. That makes sense. I hope that works out well, but the larger picture with Jamin Davis, he's going into his fourth NFL season. The team this offseason exercising that fifth-year option in his rookie contract would appear to be unlikely. He, this past Friday, got resolution to a legal situation on March 28th, 2022, being charged with the offense of reckless driving by speed, this for going 114 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone in Loudoun County, Virginia. There's also his alleged role in the DeShazer Everett Olivia Peters tragedy, December 23rd, 2021. Then Washington safety DeShazer Everett, the driver in a fatal one-car crash in Loudoun County that killed the vehicle's passenger, 29-year-old Olivia Peters. Her mom, Kathleen Peters, she this past December 22nd in Loudoun County Circuit Court filed a $25 million wrongful death lawsuit against DeShazer, Jamin, corner Benjamin St. Jude's, and one other person, claiming that the accident that killed Olivia Peters was a function of DeShazer, Jamin, and Benjamin racing their cars. There is a lot to take in with Jamin Davis right now. Where are we with him?
Well, again, this is, I think, where the coaching part's going to come into play. Because, I mean, you know, once he got here and once we started to watch him, all I kept thinking was, this guy's football instincts are not good, right? and you see this a lot, like in the NBA as well. And when you have guys like that, but who are very athletic the way he is, I think the key is to turn on the athleticism, put them in a position where they don't have to think, just see the ball's that over there, just go get the ball, right? They didn't do that previously, right? Every game the other team was using was running a wheel route against him. I didn't realize this until I wrote the story, but Jamin Davis was tied for the allowing the highest yards per catch average among linebackers last year. Not surprising for any of us who were watching him play. So I just think, like, and you know, so what I wrote was that they're looking at using him more towards just focusing on like attacking the line of scrimmage, which would make so much more sense to me. So maybe they get more out of him. But right now, I haven't seen enough to suggest he should get the extension picked up, let alone somebody that's going to be a piece you build around. Obviously, again, they're just getting to him. You know, Ken Norton Jr. is the linebacker coach. Yeah, maybe, you know, he's played linebacker himself, but won Super Bowls, has been a coach for a while. You know, maybe he can find a way to get more out of him. But yeah, it's hard for me to sit here and go that Jamin Davis is going to be a piece here for this future, unless they literally do flip some switch and all of a sudden, not just on the field, but as you noted, off the field, he kind of, you know, matures and starts showing more promise.
Do you think that the NFL, under the terms of the league's personal conduct policy, will be suspending Jamin Davis, given that he this past Friday in Loudoun County Circuit Court entered a guilty plea, and so that legal situation now is over?
Good question. I hadn't thought that far ahead. You're right. He was given 180 days, but then suspended. So I don't know what the line there is for the league to weigh in. But the sad part is, let's just say they did suspend him for two games, or is any of us here going, well, that's a problem? The crazy part is he's literally the only linebacker. Not counting anybody who might be on like the practice squad, but you know. Everybody else, Cody Barton, Mayo, Hudson, are all free agents. So, like, they have to paper over that room significantly, let alone hope to rely on him.
All right, Commanders insider Ben Standig of The Athletic, a man who is not in danger of being suspended by the NFL, at least as far as we know. Ben, thank you, and we'll talk soon.
That's why I don't talk too much about what happened at the combine. I don't need the league knowing. thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That's right. What happens in Indy stays in Indy. And what's happening at Nova Fireplace and Stove right now is something that you very much need to know about. If you live in Northern Virginia and you have a masonry fireplace, listen up. You can get an in-stock wood insert at an extremely discounted price, just $6,000 plus tax. The usual price is $9,000 plus tax. So this is a 33% discount, and the $6,000 plus tax includes installation, permit, and county/city inspection. And you can get a government-funded tax credit as well, up to $2,000, dropping the price to just $4,000, all things considered. If you live in Northern Virginia and you have a masonry fireplace, call Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803. Talk to my guy, Stuart Moore. He is the general manager. He's a big Commanders fan. He's a loyal listener of this podcast. Mention that Al Galdi sent you and get this exceptional deal on an in-stock wood insert. Again, 33% off. A site visit is required, but this is an outstanding deal. A standard masonry fireplace is only about 10% efficient, but a wood insert is over 70% efficient. A wood insert installed into a masonry fireplace elongates the burn time of your logs. This is a great way to heat your home and save money on heating your home. Visit NovaFireplaceAndStove.com to check out customer reviews of Nova Fireplace and Stove, but call Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. That's Nova Fireplace and Stove, 571-513-3803, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Well, the 2024 NHL trade deadline is this Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and the Capitals have made their first trade in the lead-up to that deadline. The Caps on Tuesday evening traded winger Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights for a second round pick in the 2024 NHL draft and a fourth round pick in the 2026 NHL draft. The Caps, as part of the trade, retained 50% of Mantha's salary. Is this the start of a true fire sale and thus rebuild by the Caps, or is this just a sensible trade to continue this Caps retool? We don't know, but we should find out soon. Mantha is set to be an unrestricted free agent in the 2024 offseason. He's having a good season. Mantha for this NHL regular season is number 2 on the Caps with 20 goals, is number 3 on the Caps in plus minus rating at plus 5, and is number 1 among all qualified Caps players in 5-on-5 shot attempt percentage per natural stat trick at 50.43. Something that the Caps rookie head coach Spencer Carberry deserves credit for is fixing Anthony Mantha. He was not in a good way coming into this season, but he's having his best season in years. The Caps acquired Mantha on April 12th, 2021, what was 2021 NHL trade deadline day. They got Mantha from the Detroit Red Wings for forwards Jacob Vrana and Richard Panik, a 2021 first round pick and a 2022 second round pick, and what was very clearly an all-in go-for-it move by the Caps. That trade was less than 3 years ago, but the Caps were in a much different place at that time. I do like that the Caps are loading up on draft capital. This trade of Mantha gives the Caps 23 total picks over the next three NHL drafts, 7 picks in the 2024 draft, 8 picks in the 2025 draft, and 8 picks in the 2026 draft. But again, the big question is, organizationally, where are the Caps going? The Caps for this regular season are 5th in the 8-team Metropolitan Division with 65 points and have the 3rd worst goal differential in the Eastern Conference at minus 33. And the team has not won a playoff series since winning the Stanley Cup in 2018. Think about that. The last thing that I want for the Caps is for them to be stuck in this purgatory of not good enough to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, but not bad enough to bottom out in order to get truly good again. The hope was that the Caps this season would be good enough to make the postseason. That doesn't look like that's the case, although the Caps still are in playoff contention. It's not like they're out of it. 22 games left for the Caps in this regular season, and they now have made the first of perhaps several trades prior to the NHL trade deadline this Friday afternoon. We, in college basketball on Tuesday night, had the previous team for which Georgetown head coach Ed Cooley was head coach, Providence, visiting Georgetown in what was the Hoyas' final home game of this regular season. Replacing Cooley as Providence's head coach last March was Kim English, who left his job as George Mason head coach to become Providence's head coach. This was a fitting matchup for the Hoyas' regular season finale, and we got a fitting result, a loss. Georgetown for this season fell to 9-21 overall and 2-17 in the Big East with a 71-58 loss to Providence at Capital One Arena on Tuesday night. The Hoyas trailed for all of the second half. They, early in the second half, trailed by just 1 point at 30-29, but then allowed Providence to go on a 41-26 run for a 16-point lead at 71-55 in the final minute. The Hoyas' defense, again, was not good. They allowed Providence to go 9-27 on threes and 18-28 on twos as the Hoyas got outscored in the paint 34-22. But the biggest problem for the Hoyas in this game was their shooting from the field. They went just 4 of 20 on threes and just 16 of 37 on twos. Georgetown just needs better players. 6'2 Illinois transfer Jaden Epps, in 39 minutes as a starter, went just 6-19 from the field. Just 2 of 7 on threes and just 4 of 12 on twos. And he had one assist versus 3 turnovers. He went 2 of 3 on free throws, also finished with 16 points, 4 steals, and 3 rebounds. Epps now, over his last 3 games, just 12 of 42 from the field, just 4 of 18 on threes, and just 8 of 24 on twos. Next up for Georgetown, it's regular season finale. The Hoyas are at St. John's Saturday at noon. But also on Tuesday night was a win for Virginia Tech. The Hokies for this season improved to 17-13 overall and 9-10 in the ACC with an 80-64 win at Louisville. Now, Louisville is really bad. The Cardinals for this season now are 3-16 in the ACC, but Tech now has won 2 consecutive games, including a good 87-76 win over Wake Forest at Castle Coliseum in Blacksburg, Virginia this past Saturday evening. The Hokies have some good rankings on KenPom.com. A nice run by Tech in next week's ACC tournament could have the Hokies in the mix for an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. We'll see. This year's ACC tournament, by the way, at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Tech in this win at Louisville on Tuesday night never trailed. The Hokies led by at least 10 points for all of the second half. 5 Tech players each scored at least 11 points. None scored more than 15 points. Next up for Virginia Tech is its regular season finale. The Hokies are home to Notre Dame Saturday afternoon at 2:30. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Thursday show, episode 778, will provide you with more on the Commanders. Also on Thursday's show, I'll talk Wizards. The Wizards are home to the Orlando Magic Wednesday night at 7. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Feel the spirit!